You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
So today I want to share with you a message, finding rest in your battle. Many people are going through challenges, are going through difficulties. It's become so tough that you feel you want to run away and give up. I spoke to a young man this week and said to me, how long must I trust? How long must I hold on to the promise? He's been holding on for 5 years. I said, well, we had to hold on for 5 years before we had a child. Amen? Before hope was born. Abraham had to wait 25 years. Sometimes it's going to take some time. But never run away from your problems. Never turn your back on your challenges and run away. God never called us to quit. Turn to the person next to you and say, face your problems. You can face your problems because God gives us the assurance that He will deliver us and He will take us from where we are to where He wants us to be. If the enemy cannot destroy you, he's going to try and get you tired, fatigued. Because when you are tired and fatigued, you're more likely to give up. So many times we've been facing battles and challenges, and we get tired, and we just want to give up and run away. So many challenges in our country right now, so many bad reports that we are hearing. Am I talking to the right people here? And we're not going to run anywhere, amen? When it becomes dark and difficult, the way that we face things is with the Word of God. This becomes the standard. I often tell people, when it feels like you're in the dark and you don't know what to do, it's like a pilot flying at night. You cannot go in your feelings. If you feel you're 10,000 meters in the air or 10,000 feet in the air, your feelings can be wrong. You could be 10 meters from the ground and you're going to crash. The only thing that you can do is you have to look at the instruments. You have to look at the Word and view your situation in the light of God's Word. And see what it's saying and apply it and do it and get out of that situation. Feelings and emotions will not get you out of your situation. Crying is not going to change your situation. Can I have one amen? I can feel for you when you are crying, but crying is not the basis for answered prayer. Tears, suffering is not the basis for answered prayer. The basis for answered prayer is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's written in this book, and we have to apply this. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, buckle up, buddy. It's going to be a bumpy flight. But we're going to keep our eyes on the instruments, and I'm going to show you how to get through the storm. So number one, what does the Word of God say? When you are tired, when you are weary, when you feel like you are fatigued and you want to give up, Matthew 11, 28 says, fast for 30 days. Pray for 3 hours. Does it say that? Does it say read through your Bible? No, he says, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Family, God gave us this strategy a long time ago already. Reach up, reach in, reach out. So if you are tired, wearied, feel like you are fatigued, reach up. Come to me. Amen. Don't look at your situation. Don't look at your circumstances. It will steal your peace. Go to God, the giver of peace, because this is the grace that is given to born-again believers, that we can have peace on the inside while there's a storm on the outside. I want to tell you now, God will never take you out of the storm, out of the difficulty that you are facing. What he's going to do is he's going to pray for you that your faith will not fail. That's what he said to Peter. He says, Peter, the devil wanted to take you out, but I've been praying for you that your faith will not fail, that your faith will see you through. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is the gospel. We live by faith, and not by sight. Amen. Jesus, yes, give the Lord a hand. If somebody wants to clap, give the Lord a hand. Amen. I didn't grow up in a church that clapped hands a lot, so it's always still thrills for me when somebody claps hands in a church. Amen. So we have to rest in our position in Christ Jesus. When we rest in our position in Christ Jesus, you can even have peace when you are facing a storm. When you've got peace on the inside, you can make the right decisions. Let's go on, verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know what we do in storms? We want to tell God what to do. Instead of learning from him, God, I tell you the best thing in the storm right now. You know, the sons of Zebedee, disciples with Jesus, you know, when they were not happy in Samaria, you know what they wanted to do? Call down fire. Jesus says, no, we're not going to do what you feel you want to do. Learn from me. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Are you ready for this? So all of us face disappointments every day. We get frustrated with ourselves because the life that we want to live, we're not living it right now. We want to be positive and then we find ourselves being negative. We want to be brave and then we feel like we want to run away. Am I talking to the right people here? It was only pastors that write these tests. We want to be courageous, and then we feel like situations and circumstances are busy overcoming us. We want just to be kind and friendliness around us, and then somebody is nasty to us. We just want a peaceful drive with the worship in the car, and then somebody cuts in front of you. Turn to the person next to you, say, you're not in heaven yet. You're here on earth. You know, when I look at the Bible and I see men that God anointed and called with a purpose, making mistakes, but God helping them to get to where they should be, it gives me hope and courage. You know, I mentioned Peter. Peter, the one minute, has got revelation that Jesus is the Christ, and the next minute he's rebuking him, telling him, no, it's not going to work like this. You cannot go and die. Remember, I've got the revelation. You're the Jesus. You're the Christ. You're going to live forever. The one minute he's walking on water, the next minute he's chopping off somebody's ear. Have you had those moments in your life? David in the Bible is anointed to be king, the apple of God's eye. And I'm going to show you the two times he stayed away from the battle was the two times it cost him dearly. In 2 Samuel 1:11, it says, at the appointed time when kings go out to war, he stayed at home. He didn't go face his battle on the battlefield where God was with him, where he would have victory. And one woman defeated him on a rooftop. Turn to the person next to you and say, Ana. So I want to tell you, don't go to places you shouldn't go. Be where God wants you to be. If there's a battle, you don't run away from a battle. You face a battle because God has anointed you to give you the victory. David always asked God for guidance. Always. But the one time when he got tired, when he got fatigued, he started talking to himself. And when you're tired and you're talking to yourself, you're going to make wrong decisions. Turn with me in your Bibles in 1 Samuel 27 verse 1. Look at this. Then David said to himself, now I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me to escape into the land of the Philistines. Saul then will despair of searching for me anymore in all the territory of Israel, and I will escape from his hand. So David arose and crossed over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish, to the son of Maok, king of Gath. Now, if you go to the previous chapter and you read that, you'll actually see there that David is saying that God has delivered him from all his distresses. Everything. A matter of fact, Saul, every battle that he was facing, God gave him victory every time. When he was trapped in the cave, remember, he cut off the piece of Saul's garment. He didn't kill him. He was acting and living and walking in righteousness, and God delivered him every time. But he got tired of the battle. Turn to the person next to you and say, sometimes you're going to get tired. You know what's the interesting thing? Go read that previous chapter. When you read it, you'll see Saul is saying to him, you are doing everything right and nothing will be impossible for you, David. You'll accomplish everything and great things. And David speaks to himself and he says, no, this man's going to kill me. When fear gripped his heart and he was tired and started talking to himself, he made wrong decisions. Rule number one, never make big decisions when you are tired and fatigued. I tell my children when they want to make big decisions after 10 at night, I say, no, go sleep, let's talk tomorrow. Because when you are late at night and you're tired, you start saying stupid things, especially if you're having an argument. It's at the midnight hour where nasty things are said and people jump in their cars and leave. Instead of just taking a break, resting, and then taking it from there. Can I have one amen? Don't make big decisions when you're tired. Many people have quit jobs when they were tired, and it's the job the Lord gave you. And the enemy couldn't destroy you in that job, so he made you tired in the job. And all you had to go do is find your rest. So when you're experiencing a constant battle, even if you're the king and the anointed one, if you start looking at your situation from a natural point of view, you're going to make wrong decisions. Just think about it. David, who killed the lion, who killed the bear, who killed the giant. Not one of those things killed him. He killed them. But the thing that brought him out of faith was the consistent battle with Saul. Never destroyed him, never hurt him. By his own confession, the Lord delivered him from all his distresses. But it just became too long. What is the thing that discouraged many people? COVID was long. When you have to wait longer than what you thought. David's status changed from warrior to warrior. Started to worry. This man's going to kill me. I better get out of here. And he did not consult from the Lord, and he crossed over to the Philistines. You can move to another country if you want to, but don't move to another country because you're looking at the situation and the circumstances around you. If you're going to move, make sure you've heard from God, and God said, move. Otherwise, you might just be moving into trouble. This fear crippled his ability to think. I mean, the Bible talks about David acting more wisely than Saul. But here in this situation, fear is more deceptive than Satan himself. When God has called you to do things for him, and you're anointed by him to walk in the Spirit and do extraordinary things by faith, you cannot look at things from a natural point of view, because if you look at things from a natural point of view, fear will grip your heart, and you will go from faith to despair. The hope that you have that God will always be with you will suddenly just disappear. Fear changes your focus. Fear changes your determination. That's why God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Fear opens the door for so many other things. Fear is a doorkeeper, but fear is not your portion. Amen? David said, it's going to be easier for me just to go to the land of the Philistines and be there. What a stupid thing to say. You're in the land where God has called you, where he's anointed you to rule. And you want to go to another land. I mean, when he went there, he had to behave out of character. Remember the one time he had to make like he's mad. Behave and spit came out of his mouth and looked like he had an epileptic fit. When you go where you're not supposed to go, you're going to act out of character and like look stupid. Say, hey, no. The truth is, Saul was a real threat. I don't think we should say that Saul was a real threat. Saul tried to kill him a few times. But you don't run away from that battle because God was with him. The Lord was no longer with Saul, but the Lord was with him. And when the Lord is with you, who can be against you? Amen. Family, we have to face some real challenges. I know the way that you're clapping is like, yeah, I hope you're going to help me, Lord. This is what happened to David. God, where are you? Why am I fighting and fighting and fighting? Because sometimes when the devil cannot destroy you, he's going to try and get you tired. Become sick and tired. They've had enough. And then you walk away from what God has given you, what God has planned for you. John 14:11 says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Don't allow your heart to be troubled. If your heart is troubled, you have to reach up. You have to touch the heart of God and allow God to touch your heart. Amen? So do you want to see what happened? David, that never lost a battle, killed a lion, killed a bear, killed a giant. I mean, God led him everywhere. He goes, and here is what happens. Let me get my glasses. 1 Samuel 30, three chapters later. When David and his men came to the city, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Let me tell you something. It went from bad to worse. He was tired of the battle in the land where God had placed him, but he had victory every time. But when he moved to where he was not supposed to be, now they're crying until they've got no strength. Ana. Am I the only one seeing that? Can you imagine men, giant slayers, bear killers, crying until they've got no strength? Now they're down and out. Have you been at that place? Turn to the person next to you and say, this is not for me, it's for somebody else I have to share it with. Can I say this? Moving to places where you should not be can bring your whole family into captivity. Listen to me. Moving to places when God has not approved it can bring your whole family into captivity. You better have a word from God if you want to go anywhere. Number two, crying is not going to bring you peace. They wept and they wept and they wept and no peace. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, David went and strengthened himself in the Lord. And this is where I want to start to talk to Christians. What does it say? Does it say the Lord strengthened him? No, it doesn't say the Lord strengthened him. It says, David went and he strengthened himself in the Lord. Christians, listen to me. You've got weapons. You've got things that God has given us and deposited on the inside of us that you can strengthen yourself. Acts 1 verse 8 says, wait until you've received power. There's a power being deposited on the inside of us. When you are born again, you are born of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead raised your spirit and made it alive. Jude 1 verse 20 says, praying in the Spirit, building yourself up in your most holy faith. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? The first part of the scripture I want you to focus on, if you've got your Bible, underline that. But you. Turn to the person next to you, say, you. Go and pray in the Spirit. So what does he say? He says, start to pray in the Spirit and build yourself up. And as you start to pray in the Spirit, God will build you up in your most holy faith. But you know what we do? We go lie down. Strength, Lord! Strength! Strength! I'm going to die! Strength! Cannot do that. Abraham. We are sons of Father Abraham. Abraham did not look at the situation and the circumstances. Romans 4:19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Let me just tell you, there was a time when Sarah looked at everything from a natural point of view, and he also, and Ishmael was born. But God says the covenant is not with Ishmael. The things that you do from a natural point of view, which is not in faith, does not move God. Did not waver at the promise of God, even when it was later through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. What did he start doing? He started thanking God. I thank you, Lord, for my son. I thank you, Lord, that you're faithful, that it's going to be. Faith is acknowledging what you already have. So when you start praying in the Spirit, you're going to build yourself up in your most holy faith. The next minute, you'll find yourself giving glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for the promises. Thank you that you are true. Thank you that your word cannot return back void. Thank you, Lord, that the good work that you've begun, that you will finish it. Thank you, Lord, that you're busy perfecting everything concerning me. Start giving glory to God. Paul and Silas, when they were in the prison, in the midnight hour, what did they do? Started singing songs. Started exalting God. Started magnifying God. What happened? The prison door started to open up. Prison door started to open up. Some of you, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you're not praying in tongues anymore. Not praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, you're praying God's perfect will. Perfect will. So all these things, when you have strength, now you can face the battle. Acts 1 verse 8, God has given us the power. Matthew 28, all authority has been given to Jesus. He has given it to us. He says, go into the world. Matthew 18, he says, where two or more agree upon anything, it shall be done. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loosed in heaven and here on earth. So sometimes all you have to do is use the keys that God has given us. Thursday night at the prayer meeting, talking to somebody quickly, we're praying, sharing some things. I said, okay, let's agree. Pray quickly. Agree, that will come through. Later, another person shares with me, concerned about it. Okay, let's pray, let's agree. Find somebody and agree. Two believers are better than one. Knowing what to do and actually doing it is two completely different things. Knowing the food is in the fridge and taking the food out of the fridge and eating it, it's two completely different things. The one where you're just looking at the fridge and you know everything, you're going to stay weak. You're going to keep on being tired. But once you open that fridge and you take the meal prep out and you start eating it, you're putting fuel on the inside. You're strengthening yourself. Say, okay, now I'm ready. I'm ready for the day. I can do what I have to do. I know there's still some tasks that I have to finish. After you are strengthened and you have peace back on the inside, now you can go to God and ask. You don't know what to do? Ask for wisdom. Lord, what should I do in this situation? Lead me and guide me. Show me what to do. Not doubting like a wave in the ocean this way and that way. Make sure that you have that peace on the inside. Let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now David comes to his senses. He goes to God and he asks God and he says, what should I do? Should I attack them? David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. Before this happened, things got worse. You know what happened? David's own men wanted to kill him. Go read it. The Bible says he became greatly distressed because his own men wanted to kill him because of what happened. Can I speak to leaders? Can I speak to leaders for 1 minute? The people wanted to kill him as a leader. The people pointed the finger to him as a leader, but he never pointed the finger to them. He never accused them. Can I have one amen? Because leaders get up and they show a more excellent way. Anybody can point a finger. Anybody can accuse anybody. But leaders that are filled with the Holy Spirit, they show a more excellent way. They go strengthen themselves in the Lord, and they come with an answer, and they say, this is what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying, let's pursue them. And they went and they got back. What the enemy had stolen, God restored back. What did he do? Family, listen to me. Reach up, reach in, reach out. Do you know what most people do? They want to reach out and go fight the battles when they've not touched the heart of God and they've not allowed God to strengthen them. Many times you upset with somebody that said something, posted something, or did something. I will go sort them out. I'm drawing the line here. And all you're going is with flesh. and you make the situation worse. Get your peace back. Touch the heart of God. Let God touch your heart, and then you'll know what to do. David believed in that instruction in righteousness, and he went and did what the Lord told him to do. A matter of fact, 200 people said, "We're too tired, we cannot go with." And David said, "It's fine, you 200 can stay here." Sometimes the 200 that cannot walk with you, we don't write them off, because there will come a time when they will have strength and they will help you again. But when you have to be somebody's strength, be their strength. My strength becomes your strength, and your strength will become my strength. God will always do far more abundantly above what we ask. You know what happened here? It's exactly what God did. The Lord said, "Go and pursue them and get them." They got back what the enemy stole, but they also took what the enemy had and plundered them. Amen. So God will always turn it around for your good, for those who love him. And God turned the whole thing around for David. Amen. I'm going to close with this. Yes, give the Lord a hand. If you want to clap, clap. I'm going to close with this. An attitude of faith demands an attitude of peace in the heart of a man and woman of God. When the enemy cannot destroy you, he's going to try and weary you out. He's going to try and get you to a place where you're fatigued. And when you are tired and you're looking at the situation and the circumstances and fear wants to grip your heart, you'll make decisions from a natural point of view instead of doing what God has told you to do. I think the one thing that I've said, reach up, touch the heart of God. Jesus said, "Come to me." He didn't say fast 40 days. He didn't say read through the Bible. He didn't say pray for 7 days. He just said, "Come as you are. Come to me. Come, and I'm going to make it easy for you. Learn from me. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you." And when David came to the Lord and he strengthened himself, he probably said, "I know the Lord is the light of my salvation. I shall not fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, though war may rise up against me, fear will not grip my heart. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold his beauty and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me." He'll place me in his secret place. When David found himself in that secret place, he had peace in his heart. When God has given you a promise, it cannot return back void. Are you holding on to a promise? Don't let the enemy make you doubt the promise and the word of God. Abraham had to wait 25 years. If it's a big promise, I want to almost tell you, big time of waiting. Big promise, big time of waiting. God never runs from challenges. A matter of fact, David wrote in Psalm 91 verse 14, he says, "In the time of trouble, he will deliver me. Because I've set my love on him, he will deliver me." So if you're down and out, if you feel at your lowest point, crying is not going to change the situation. Cry and cry the tears. I've cried tears many times. But then get up and start to build yourself up in your most holy faith. Start praying in the Spirit. Amen? I'm telling you now, that heavenly language, when you're linked up with God and you're praying his perfect will, things will start to change. When we started this church, one of the strategies the Lord gave me, every prayer meeting that we had for the first 2 years, no utterance in the natural. I said, "We're going to pray now, but you pray in the Spirit. We're praying God's perfect will. That's it. Just pray." Afterwards, if they had a vision or they had something, they could share it. But they never came with an agenda before the time. The only agenda was, "We're going to pray in the Spirit, building ourselves up in our most holy faith to hear what God is saying, to pray the perfect will of God." Amen? So I want to tell you, in what you are facing right now, it's not all up to God. You have your part to play. Pray as if everything depends upon God. But work and face your challenges as everything depends upon you. And God will lead you and show you what to do. Then ask God for wisdom. What is it that I should do? Lead me and guide me, Lord, what to do, what not to do. And God will give you wisdom. He'll drop something on the inside. He says he's not going to keep anything back. He says every temptation, every difficulty, God will make a way. He'll show you the way out, what to do, what not to do. When you proclaim God's word, things starts to change. This has got healing power. It's got sanctification power, deliverance power, Faith is not hard. Turn to the person next to you and say, faith is not hard. Faith is a lifestyle of trusting God in everything that you do. Faith is focusing upon the problem solver, Jesus Christ, and not focusing upon all the problems. We're not ignoring the problems. We have to sometimes speak to those mountains. We have to speak to those giants, but we don't run away from them. Amen? If there's problems around you and it's stealing your peace, go and strengthen yourself in the Lord. Guess what he will do? Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. You are the greatest product of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God has made you. The breath of the Almighty is the very thing that gives you life. And when you are born again, you are born of God. Your spirit is one with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17. You are joined with him. So guess what? When you start praying in the Spirit, building yourself up in your most holy faith, the next thing that you will find yourself is starting to give glory to God, because you'll receive revelation of those promises. He'll give you a prophetic picture like he did with Joseph and show you the future where you belong. And the next minute you'll find yourself worshiping, exalting God. Amen. And when you find yourself in that prison worshiping and exalting God, guess what? Prison doors start to open. Don't be surprised when prison doors, doors that have been locked, doors of breakthrough start to open, doors of mercy, doors of favor, bondage on your families just being released like that. Well, may the light of God's favor shine upon all your ways and expel all shades of fear in your life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.